Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Hello, everyone, and welcome to what I promise will once again be another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Happy Sunday. Nice to have you on board with us tonight. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio and just across the way, separated only by a fine chicken wire fence, George P. Fraser. George, you have got a very hard luck story growing up as a kid. Only on special days would you get beef drippings on your bread versus just lard sandwiches.
True.
You have overcome a tremendous amount from
Thank
your
you.
Childhood.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just have to say I commend you and everything you do.
I like to think I'm kind of an inspiration to a lot of people.
Really?
Especially to myself.
I don't know if I'd go there.
Okay.
I wouldn't go there.
Happy Sunday to you, too.
I was kind of upbeat there, wasn't I?
Yeah, happy yeah. Sunday. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, I'm trying to mix it up a little, George. 2017. We're now going in our sixth year of Real Recovery. And I have to say, again, God has been blessing us and giving us great programming here on Faith Radio. And we have great guests. We've got two in the studio tonight. Two Jews for Jesus are here in the studio. Out of
sounds
no other
like
way
a
to put
joke.
It. No, it does. Does.
What's the punchline?
I haven't come up with it yet, but trust me, I will. Yeah.
Okay.
But we're going to talk tonight about mentoring and how important it is to be engaged in an accountability, to be discipled, to have someone that you go to that you can air all of your dirty laundry with. You can confess your sins to one another, like it says in Scripture. And I think of the great story of the Bride of Frankenstein, George. I don't know, that movie was like 1935, and it's a great movie, and of course the monster shows up at this house in this little cottage in the forest, and the guy who lives in the house is blind, so he can't see how hideous the monster is, kind of like the way our listeners can't see how hideous we are, right?
Okay. How long is this story going to take, Bill?
Well, it's going to get better too, George.
Okay. I'm riveted.
I can tell you are. And of course the guy's overwhelmed because he has an answer to a prayer because the monster can't talk. And the guy says, you too have an affliction. So maybe we can be friends. And of course, he plays the violin and he plays music and teaches him a few words, you know, and then the people from the town come and try to kill the monster and they burn his house down. And it's a little tragic as it ends. But anyway, it's when two people with afflictions get together and become friends. And I think God delights in that, calls us together to be in fellowship with one another, to share each other's burdens, to disciple, and to make disciples.
Oh, now I get it. What if one of the persons who was friends heard a story from the other friend and decided, I don't know if I want to be friends with this guy
that
anymore.
Could be, too. That okay. could be very possible. Is that how you're feeling tonight?
No, that's what we do here on Real Recovery is we come in with our brokenness.
Yes.
I'll save this for us.
Okay, good.
And that's
hopefully I left you enough line to reel this one in.
And we look to God, but that really is a good intro. And tonight we're going to talk about that. We were talking about mentors before we came on. And John, one of our guests who's not going to start talking yet, but will when we give him permission, was saying, you know, who's a mentor? Well, we start with God, but I need somebody with flesh on it, too, that I can be accountable to, that can give me direct feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that, don't we?
And isolation is one of the biggest problems. And I think when you're suffering from addiction of any kind, when you start to isolate and close doors and stop answering phones, you are in trouble.
Well, in addicts and alcoholics, I'm in recovery myself, we tend to isolate. You know, we can be insulted. We want to pull away. My natural tendency is to go back to my cave, and we need to be in community, and we need to be in connection with God. We isolate from God before we isolate from people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're being alone, there's a difference between alone time and isolating. Isolating is avoiding. You know, if your phone rings and you decide not to pick it up, you put it into voicemail, you start blowing people off, you're isolating.
Mm-hmm. And it gets easier and easier once you start isolating. You know, you might be reluctant to not take a call. And then the next time that person calls, it's a little easier not to take the call. And then all of a sudden, you're not taking calls at all.
Well, and I think for me, and I think probably for you, Bill, when we start distancing ourselves from people, we have distanced ourselves from God first.
Mm-hmm. Is that the end of your thought?
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah, it is.
Well, now, George, I shot up there with Bride of Frankenstein.
That's a great
stellar.
Movie. Let's face
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They burned his house down. That's a happy ending. We lost Alex for the night on that one. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a step, because you know on Real Recovery, whether you just joined us tonight for the first time, you joined us on purpose or by accident, either way, we're happy that you joined us. And we do try to talk about a step every week. And, of course, all the steps from recovery groups are rooted in biblical principles. And step 12, George, it would have something to do with mentoring, wouldn't it?
It does, and you're right. They are biblically the foundation, the origin is the Bible, and that's why they work. You can have people say that I have a higher power. Well, Jesus wrote the book, and the principles come from the Lord, and that's why they work. If you do them, whether you believe in God or not, they're going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And step 12 for us is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We carried this message to others who still suffer and practice these principles in all our affairs. Let's break that down. If you haven't had a spiritual awakening, you haven't done the steps, because what the steps do, I have a problem. I'm looking to God to solve my problem. I'm going to take an inventory. I'm going to confess my wrongdoings, my sinful behavior. I'm going to ask God to remove my defects of character. I'm going to try to make amends to people where I was wrong. I'm going to continue to take my inventory on a daily, hourly basis to improve my walk. I'm going to seek God's will for my life, not my own. And then I'm going to take what God's given me and use it to work with other people.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Now, George, we've been talking a lot lately about engaging with Jesus, which is what we always talk about. But in 2 Timothy, I've been reading this week, and it talks about join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And I always have felt that we love the prosperity kind of Bible that says if we believe this and pray that, we should get pretty much what we want. And everybody knows that doesn't work out that way. And as we commit our lives to Christ and we surrender our will and pray that his will be done in our life, I think it makes us a foot soldier. And we can start joining in the sufferings of Christ in a much more effective way.
Exactly. When we go back to step one and we admit we are powerless and we're asking for help, we get to step three. We make a decision to turn our will and our life over to God. So it's no longer about us. It's about God. And we come on our knees, willing to do whatever it takes, and then we turn our life over to God. Well, when you start getting better, don't withdraw your willingness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I get what I want from God, okay, I got it now. You know, I'll let him handle the sunrise and the sunsets, but anything in between, George F. has it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
But that's what we do.
Right.
I can't join Christ in his joy unless I'm willing to join him in his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tall order. That goes against what we're signing up for. But the real blessing when you've had suffering, and if you're in an addiction and you've gotten out of it, you've suffered, you realize God can do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. But the other thing about step 12 is he saves you from your problem, picks you up, but then he's got a job for you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't save you just to save you. I saved you so you can glorify me and tell other people and show them how to get out of the muck they're in and tell them why it happened, because I did it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I work for the creator of the universe, as do you. I can't think of a better job to do that. And we're such losers when we come in. We're willing to do anything. And God goes, okay, I loved you before the creation of the world. I've got you. Join me. I got a job for you. You need to go out and be my hands and feet and tell others about it. And that's why the mentoring thing works so well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're actually doing what we were created to do, and that's glorify God. And there's nothing that you can do that's more glorifying to God than share what he did in your life. It's not your story. It's what God did in your story.
Mm-hmm. You're an oracle of wisdom, George. Now, we're going to take a little break here in a couple of minutes, but I do want to just thank all the listeners who so enthusiastically responded last week from George's story that he has come down with stage 4 lung cancer. And a lot of listeners wrote in and said they were thinking of George and they loved him and they'd be praying for him. And I don't know about you, George, but that really warmed up my heart. And we've had some actually kind of positive news this week. Why don't we just share that for about a minute, and then we'll move on.
Well, I was I qualified for a genetic drug that's actually working, and I take it every 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was going to have a lung removed this week and all that, and I can go golfing if I want to.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. So keep praying for me. I feel a lot better than I did last week. We were talking before the show, and one of the blessings, and there's been many of this, is I realized that in the time that I have left, and I hope it's more than 2 years, it's going to be about working with guys and carrying the message.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the blessings is I get to say goodbye to some people over a few-year period, I hope. But I get to realize that what I truly believe is the truth, and God's blessings are new every morning. And it's really been a positive. And I thank KTIS for letting us talk about that last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really strong. And so what you're doing in your remaining time is obviously being in front of men, but also doing what we're talking about tonight, which is doing some mentoring. And
right.
Yes.
Yep.
And getting right in a person's face and holding them accountable and listening to them, because we all need to be listened to and instructed in God's truth.
Well, I have mentors, too. And
I know
you're one of them.
Really?
And so, you know, just as iron sharpens iron, so one man another, that's out of Proverbs 27:17.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to be accountable, and we do need to have somebody that we can touch and see and converse with. God speaks to me through his word and other believers, and I talk to him every day, but I need Christian recovery guys that will tell me, hey, George, you're doing it again. And we need that accountability. And it's fun.
It is fun. The most fun. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back in studio, we'll talk about mentoring tonight. You're going to be in for a big treat. Thanks for listening to Real Recovery. Bill, George, Alex, that's the team tonight. We'll be right back.
And it's here,
we're so glad you're with us tonight. Thanks for listening to Real Recovery. We are talking tonight about mentoring, and we all need lots of that. We need to have friends. We need to have people that care about us. We need to have people that answer the phone when we call and call us back. There's a lot of little tiny common courtesies that are associated with mentoring. It's like when you need to talk to someone, your mentor answers, right?
Right. And you need to have somebody who has your permission to tell you about yourself.
Yes.
And I always, you have permission to give me feedback.
Yes, true. And I love the Dick Cavett line who said, it's a rare man who wants to hear what he doesn't want to hear. Great line. But we have in studio tonight with us
that
John Steger and Brett Waldman. They are they're a mentor and mentee here in the studio. So let's start with you, John. Welcome back to the show. You've been on the show before, so we're delighted to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And introduce your mentor.
My mentor is Brett Waldman, who's sitting next to me right here. And it's a privilege to have somebody that's able to, that you're able to speak into their life. I mean, I look at being a pastor, I had to figure out who was going to mentor me? Who was I going to be able to talk to about the things that go on? Because I'm a man, just like any other guy. Who was I going to talk to and just share my heart with? And God put Brett in my life. Not to mention, we're both two Jews that came to know Jesus. But at the same time, Brett was that much farther ahead than me in his walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have that person that's that much farther ahead than you in Christ that can speak into your life and teach you, because that's what a mentor is doing. A mentor or a disciple maker, as I like to call them biblically, is somebody who's speaking into your life. And
mm-hmm.
I have – Brett is my Paul. I'm his Timothy. And then I am a Paul to other Timothys. And then they have their Timothys that they're mentoring into. So it's this disciple making – disciples making disciples to making disciples to making disciples. It keeps going and going and going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome to be able to share with Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds like kind of a pyramid scheme.
No money.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
It is so. And that's how we keep going. And it does build on each other. So if you're going to work with a guy and he's going to work with some guys, all of a sudden your community is growing and going forward. And what we see of guys that their walk or their recovery, it stagnates. We're either going forward or we're going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing has some legs and some momentum, Bill, and I think that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Now, in order to get a friend, you have to be a friend. So
correct.
The element of friendship, how did that start? And do you guys... how far back do you guys go?
Probably about 4 years.
Okay.
Where we met at Grace Church, going to church.
Okay.
And it was through some other friends. And then it just started to evolve from there. And he started to watch my walk and what God was doing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then God put it on my heart when my other mentor went and planted a church. And that mentor relationship needed to end because he was so busy doing what he was doing. And I said, Lord, who's going to mentor me? Who, mm-hmm. who can speak into my life? And Brett is somebody who is a perfect example of somebody who denies himself, picks up his cross, and follows after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what being a mentor is. You have to sacrifice because, like you said, the person has to be there to pick up the phone and talk and answer the phone. And they have to be there to speak into your life. Well, that's right. What he's like.
Right.
And that's what you need in your life. So that's how we met. And God said, you know, Brett needs to be your mentor. So I went and asked him.
He did.
And that was it. What do you think about being my mentor, Brett?
Is that what you said?
God talked to me. I said, what do you think about being my mentor? You know, we did it at Dunn Brothers, you know, and it was, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, okay. And he's always excited. So, I mean, he's an excitable guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, it's just such a privilege, such an honor. I mean, humbled I am.
Good, good.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear your Jewish as well, so
yes.
I'm fascinated by stories of Jewish people that come to know the saving faith of Christ in their life. So can you tell our listening audience how that worked out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Crazy. I was brought up Jewish, bar mitzvahed, the whole nine yards. And then my parents, they got divorced. And my mom found... or Jesus found my mom before they got divorced. It was kind of like the final reason they did. And amazingly, they gave custody to my dad of me. And they left up to my mom and I when we would see each other. And I know my mom's listening, and I know it'll hurt her. But, you know, at the time, the truth of the matter is I didn't want to see her because she wanted me just to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to know Jesus. I was a Jew. And ironically, that is. But... And so fast forward, aside from milestone moments of those years, I really didn't see my mom the whole lot. But when I was 17 and spring break came along, I know now is the Holy Spirit working in me, but I thought, you know, maybe I should go see my mom. Maybe I should go find out what this Jesus thing's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there. I had some challenges going on in my life. And some for me, they're big ones at the time. And my mom said, well, we're going to pray about them. I'm like, yeah, Mom, right. Well, yeah, sure, Mom. Go ahead and pray. That's fine. I don't want, you know. She says, no, seriously, Brett. We are going to pray. We're going to believe in faith that it's going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I said, yeah, whatever you want to have to do, do. Well, she did. Okay, you have to remember I'm a dude that doesn't want to really believe that Jesus is my Messiah because I've been against that mm-hmm. concept all my growing up. And the undeniable things happen. 1, 2, 3. Not to get into the things, but Jesus did sheer miracles in my life. So much so that I knew undeniably that Jesus is our Messiah. And, well, you can imagine. So now I'm finishing this time with my mom, and I'm going back to my house, my dad's house, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to stuff this down, or am I going to tell him, or what am I going to do? And
You showed up with your attorney.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Because you had to talk to him, right?
Right. You can talk to him. Well, anyway, you know, I told my dad, you know, it's been revealed to me that Jesus is our Messiah. And I can't explain fully how that felt, but my dad, you know, it didn't go over well. My dad had the rabbi come to the house the next day to try to kind of deprogram me or something mm-hmm. or kind of slap me up the side of the head and get me going on back. And Rabbi and I had a great conversation, crazy enough, and my dad didn't like that. He wanted kind of not so good coming my way. And the rabbi left the house, poked his head back in, and said, you know, Ned, we're losing a good one. And my dad was like, what do you mean good, you know, my son? And so then what happened at that point was I knew I had – there was no alternative. I then moved to my mom's. And two people, my dad and I, you know, we were so close from the world standpoint, you mm-hmm. know, and he was taught me the ways of the world. It was in a lot of ways it seemed good by the world and seemed good to me, and you know, do right by people, do what feels right, follow your heart. I always hoped there was something more though. And when I learned it, you know, I knew he wouldn't be a part of that. So I moved with my mom, and he disowned me for a number of years. And so that's the story. We patched things up, except for the faith part, except to the very, very end. But we patched things up, except for the faith part, later on in life, and worked together a little bit. But anyway.
Well, that's a tough one to hear, George.
Well, it's very powerful, Bill. The hand of God comes in here, and all of a sudden, something I don't want to do, I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
And it's costing me something very dear to me, but this is more precious. And amen. I don't know what the verse is, Bill, but, you know, Jesus said, you got to put me above your family, and whoever looks back isn't worthy of the kingdom. And here's a 17-year-old kid. All of a sudden, he doesn't want to do this, and God drew him in.
Yeah.
And it's real. And, you know, there is a cost there, but it can't compare to the eternal gain. And you look at what's happened in his life since then, and we're going to hear that. It's really powerful.
Amen.
And my also, I have to just say out there, my mom never gave up on me. I was a dude to give up on. I was out there. I was doing what I felt was right and all that stuff. And my mom never gave up on it. She would send me journals, and she's an artist, and she'd send me letters, and I would put them aside and say, I don't want that, anything to do with that. But you know what? Prayer works. I just want to say that out loud. So people, wherever you are, you know, if you're the one being prayed about and you just happen to come along the station, maybe that's there's a reason you're listening right now. Or if you're praying for somebody with everything you've got, don't give up. My mom didn't give up on me. And here I am, crazy. When I think of what's going down in my life, and we're Jews for, you know, talking about Jesus and stuff, and leading other men and stuff, unbelievable compared to what I was before. So,
yeah.
Praise God.
That's crazy. Yeah, we've doubled the security here at the studio tonight, George.
That's good.
Yeah. You are protected.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got Jews talking about
Jesus.
You know,
when we heard John's story before, God never gives up on us.
Yeah.
So part of the mentee thing is you might have people in your life that are point people for you, that are praying for you. And I love that. There's people listening tonight. You've got a family member that has a problem, and they just don't seem to get it. And maybe they've gone to rehab a few times. And don't ever stop praying for people. God never gives up on us. We don't give up on people. And God does miracles all the time. We just got to keep praying.
Amen.
The perseverance of Brett's mother is so inspiring.
Yes.
Because obviously a mother's love, there's nothing like it. And she's never going to give up on you, ever, ever, ever. Yeah. But it's against the mother's nature to do that. But she just kept doing the next thing, the next.
It was that much
sending
stronger.
You the next letter filled with love. And even if you didn't read it, she sent it. So that's really strong, really good. Yeah. All right, we've got lots more to talk about tonight about mentoring. So glad you're with us tonight. We have John Steger in the studio and Brett Waldman, and they're mentor-mentee. And John, I know your story that has involved drugs and alcohol in the past.
Correct.
I have not vetted Brett. Is Brett, are you 10 seconds? History?
I don't have a history of that type of history, but, you know, we're all broken. And
indeed we are.
We are all broken. And that's
we're all poor, wretched, naked, and in need of a Savior.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Good. We'll take a little break. When we come back, lots more with Real Recovery. Bill, Alex, George in studio tonight. We'll be right back. All right, brokenness is unavoidable, and bitterness is a choice, and we all have a choice as to how we respond. I think it was Chuck Swindoll, one of your favorites, that said, let's see, what is it? Life is...
attitude.
It's attitude, yeah. It's
not what happens to you, it's 10, what you choose to
10%
do.
10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. Mm-hmm. So having...
But they didn't burn his house down.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's a good one.
But when you get involved in a mentoring relationship, you're going to be your attitude is going to come to the surface, and you're going to either be a complainer, or you're going to be a person open to teaching and receiving God's word. And hopefully, the mentor is rightly dividing the word of truth in the situation with the mentee if that person is confused.
Well, I think what happens is you get to be really close friends that have the permission and know you better than probably anybody else. You and I are kind of like that. You can say things to me like, you know, you seem a little negative today, George, even more so than you usually are. What's going on? And you go, gosh, am I? And that can be a life-changing deal. It stops us in our tracks and helps us to be accountable and turn around. What did Luther say? All of life is repentance. I think with a mentor, what it is holding a mirror up to you and saying, hey, here's what I see you doing.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of directness. It doesn't always seem polite at the time, does it?
I think it's very direct. Yeah, but I mean, we can say things to each other because we have permission to do that. And you know at the end of the day that the guy loves you enough to tell you the truth. None of us have enough people in our life that tell us that. We have a lot of people that tell us what we want to hear. And if you ever work and you're in an organization, people that work for you tell you what you want to hear rather than what you need to hear. And so it's the same with a mentor. You need somebody that's just going to tell you what the truth is, no matter how you feel about it, they're going to tell you the truth. That's invaluable. That's what you have here.
It is. There's a passage in Proverbs that says, open rebuke is better than hidden love.
Amen.
Mm. How about that?
Maybe,
I like it.
Maybe with your mentor, not in your marriage all the time.
Yeah, that could pose a problem.
So let's bring John on now that we've killed the show.
Go ahead, George.
John, good to have you back. We were talking on the break about some things that you're really strong on every day. Can you share that with our audience?
Yeah, it's what my mentor has taught me is we have to have time with God. There has to be quiet time with the Lord, and that's what we call it. We call it quiet time. It's that personal spiritual discipline that you have and you create. And that you can be in God's word, you can be in a devotional, and you can, and I brought the props here so I can remind myself about what it is. It's my devotional. It's a devotional that's a secondary source than the Bible. And I have a plan where I read a psalm a day and a chapter of the gospel a day. And my pastor, Troy, gave us this challenge at Grace that if you read a psalm a day and a chapter of the gospel a day, you would read the psalms once and you would read the gospels twice. If you did that, because there's 150 Psalms and there's 89 chapters in the Gospels. So if you do that, that's a reading discipline that you're getting into. Then you have your secondary source, which is your devotional, and I use a Blackaby devotional, but the way he writes, it just like punches me in the face every time I read it.
Okay.
Because it's reality. It's like, wow. Okay. I get it. I know what that's like.
So when do you do this?
I do that in the morning before I do anything. I get up and I go downstairs and that's what I do in the morning. I do that first thing because I know, and I know more than anything, that when I go outside, the devil is coming after me because he hates me. And being a pastor, he doesn't want me to succeed. He wants to do everything in the world to harm me. So I have to arm myself with the armor of God, and the Bible is the armor of God. And then it's not done there yet. I have a prayer journal, and I write a prayer to God every morning, and I say it back to him out loud. And then I pray after that. So we have Bible reading, devotional, prayer journal, prayer. Now I'm safe to go outside. Safe to enter.
Now, what is it, lunchtime now?
It's about 3.
I love this, and Bill and I are on this program, too. Bill gets up like at 4 in the morning. And,
perfect.
Because I'll get texts from Tim Keller at 4 in the morning. I know they're not from Keller. I know he's still sleeping. But why would we go out there on our own when we know it's a war? And I think what we try to get through to our guys, it's a spiritual war out there. Mm-hmm. You can't see it, but you're in it, and you're the target. You're the enemy, as you said.
Yeah.
And how can I go out there without my armor? And if I can have the creator of the universe on my side, why am I not going to him first thing?
Well,
I don't have a good answer.
With the guys that I mentor, which are recovering addicts and alcoholics, like we talk about, there are quite a few of them. And one of the reasons that they enter into the world without their time with God is because they're very prideful. And they actually don't have that humility, and they want to do it on their own. Not to mention they're lazy. And they get into that, I don't understand it. I just can't get that. It's something that I can't wrap my arms around. And they're still in that denial. They've accepted Christ in their life, but they don't want to surrender and they don't want to submit their lives to Christ. So it's not a full surrender. They said a prayer, but are you really born again? I mean, is it in your heart? Did your heart change? You know, and that's what they have to ask themselves. And that's a personal check. And I say it's a checkup from the neck down, not a checkup from the neck up. It's your heart. And what God wants is our heart, not our head. He doesn't want our brain. So it's a matter of these guys actually submitting, surrendering. And I believe there's pride in there because I've seen it numerous times. I can do this on my own. I don't need you right now, God. I'll take care of this one. And that's not how you can live, because the devil will kill you.
Well, you're looking at a guy who prays for sobriety before he gets out of bed every morning.
Amen.
And now I've been praying for a physical healing, too. But it's a mindset, and I really think it's a habit that you kind of do it without thinking, Bill.
That's right.
You just get into it that you're going to do that when you get up, like hitting the coffee button. Mm. You know, I'm going to have the coffee come in while I'm praying and then sit down with the Word. And I do the daily bread every day.
Awesome.
And I'll tell you, some days I can't remember at noon what I read, but I know I started off with God before I prayed. And see, for me, I pray to God, but I don't hear back from him. He never goes, okay, here's what we're doing, which would freak me out. But when I read his Word, that's how he talks to me. And so otherwise, it's a one-way conversation of what I want. And where I get what he wants for me to do is in his Word. And that's why I got to be in it every day.
How do you love God with the decisions you make every day? That's the big question.
How do you do that, John?
How do you love God with the decisions you make every day?
Mm-hmm. You know, when God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, that word in the Greek is the word kardia, which means love God with the decisions you make. So how do you go about being in a place of strength where you can make good decisions that will honor God?
I think you have to have, I know you have to have God's Word in your heart, number one, to be able to do that. And one of the ways to be strengthened is and to walk out and do His will, because God knows who we are. He knows our hearts. We're not fooling anybody there. He's our great Creator and great Almighty. But to be able to have God's Word in your heart and to be able to have a connection to where you're not isolated. You said the word isolation a little earlier in the show. And the word isolation always rings in my mind, because I know that there's so many Christians who and addicts and alcoholics who try to be isolated. And we know that in the animal kingdom, the lion only attacks the gazelle that's alone. He doesn't attack the pack. He attacks the Lone Ranger. And there's no such thing as an isolated Christian. You're absolutely no earthly good if you're an isolated Christian. God can't use you when you're in the house all by yourself. So you have to have the Word of God in you to be able to make those right decisions, and then you have to be able to have somebody like Brett who I can talk to whenever I need to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we literally meet every Wednesday for 2.5 hours every week. That's a big commitment on his part, and it's a big commitment on my part.
2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Seems a little bit of an overkill to me. Arnold, you and I aren't going to do that.
We couldn't last 2.5 hours.
But, so you said, okay, so this is a non-negotiable that you've agreed to do every week.
Yes.
And you do it. Unless
I'm in another country.
Yeah.
On a mission trip.
Well, part of the reason I asked that is we talk about non-negotiables, and we're not going to do it if we can, unless something better comes along. We're committed. And I think part of our Christian walk and our recovery is committing that I'm going to do things different.
Amen.
And I think God shows up. John, he did for me on the Word. When I first started with this, you know, you talked about the Psalms. I was at Gracie Dinah way back, and it was a Psalm a day and then a Proverb a day. And, man, it was a struggle at first. But God kind of meets you to where now I want to do it. It was a have to, and it should be a have to until you want to, because that happens. God meets you more than halfway, don't you think?
Correct. Amen. But it's a spiritual discipline. And that's what this is, a spiritual discipline. And you have to create that discipline.
Okay.
And you have to create a habit. So you, like you just said, you have to want to do this every day, because if you do this every day, you're going to see the fruit every day. I mean, to make the right decisions that I need to make, like you just said, how do you make the right decisions? Well, the only way for me to make the right decisions in my life is to be in the Word of God and know that this is a decision that God is making with me, because I take all my decisions to Him, because I have to, because of the lives that I impact. As a shepherd, you have to be able to see God in everything. I can't seek God in some things and say, okay, I'll handle this myself. It doesn't work like that. I have to lay it all on the line for God. And everybody has to do that. It's not just because you're a pastor. It's everybody has to do that. This is just what I do. But everybody should take their life to God, surrender it, give it to Him, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Him, right? Like you said, you know, you have to deny your mother, father, and then you could be my disciple. It's Jesus first, everybody underneath Him, whatever that order is and whosoever life it is. But Jesus first, and when you connect with Him every day and you surround yourself with people, like I have Brett and then I have other people in my life that speak into my life, I we're attacking the enemy. He has to go through some serious armor to get to me.
I love that.
Yeah.
The other thing is we're usually stopping an old behavior. Maybe it's drinking or drugging, and I think it's Ephesians 4. I could be wrong on the address. Paul talks about putting off the old, but you got to put on the new to replace it. So this would be putting on the new, and it is a new behavior. And stick with it. You know, make up your mind you're going to do it for the next 30 days. You can change your life whenever you want to. Glenn Pickering, Dr. Glenn Pickering. You can do it tomorrow morning.
He's not listening.
No.
Don't worry.
No, we haven't had him on it too long. We haven't had him on it too long.
That's why he stopped listening.
But if you are listening tonight, you can start this tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Amen.
And do it for 30 days. I guarantee you your life will change, and you'll know it changes because the one day that you don't do it or forget to do it or can't do it, you're going to realize at about noon, something's different here.
Mm-hmm. I have a saying that when I was teaching the youth, I taught them how to manage their day of 24 hours. How do you manage a 24-hour day? I said, guys, when it's all said and done, after they wrote everything they could possibly do on a board in a day, which is there was so many things on the board, there was an hour left. And I said, let's just give you back another half hour to play around. But if you give God a half hour a day, he will change and bless the next 23 and a half hours of your day.
Big time.
So give God a half hour a day, an hour a day, and he's going to bless the next 23 hours a day. Give him no time. Eventually, you're going to fade away from him, and you're going to get destroyed because that's who the enemy seeks to destroy, is the Lone Ranger.
I love that.
It's true. Riddle me this. Why do people have a negative connotation to the word discipline? Because discipline equals freedom, right?
It does.
If you have the discipline to, let's say, hit 100 golf balls on the range, George, because you're a golf, I have to dumb this down for you, for your golf analogy.
Okay. Keep going a little lower. I'm almost there. Let's get it.
All right. If you have the discipline to hit 100 balls on the range, you then have the freedom to maybe enjoy a nice drive off the first tee, right?
Yeah. I don't like the word discipline. I don't like the word exercise. I don't like the word abstinence.
Right.
Okay. And so you're right. There's a negative, a built-in negative. But what we want to look at, I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. Are all my thoughts correct? I'm supposed to make every thought captive to Christ. Maybe my interpretation of the word discipline, exercise, and abstinence, maybe they're wrong. Mm. And maybe what you get to is, I don't know what I want. I don't know what's good for me. That would bring us to step one. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Why don't you pray about this and go, hey, can you change my heart on this? Mm-hmm. Because people seem to be happy doing this. I remember, you know, before I was a Christian, John, I'd see people talking about how happy they were. They weren't drinking and they were with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, no way.
Right. Exactly.
And then years later, it's like I was wrong. Does that make any sense, Bill?
It does. How come you weren't this good on the show years ago?
Well, you know, I think the Bride of Frankenstein story really did.
I pushed it over.
Did you watch that in Greek? Because then you were talking.
I did. Of course I did. Yeah, I switched over. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, one more segment with John and Brett. Thanks for listening to Real Recovery. We'll be right back. Bill Arnold here tonight with George Fraser, the only guy I know who takes a 6-month sabbatical twice a year.
It's coming up.
Coming up again, yeah. The next one's coming up. We're excited about
quick,
that.
Yeah,
we're excited about that. So we're talking about mentoring tonight, mentor, mentee, how important it is to be connected at the hip, get involved, get connected, share your burdens with one another. Have someone who, when you call any time of the night or day, will actually pick up the phone. They're committed to that. They're committed to answering, responding.
Well, we kind of have that deal where we might not pick up, but if the person calls back, then we do.
Yeah.
You know, that's informal. They meet for 2.5 hours every week.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are never going to do that.
No.
We might do that per month. But on the break, John was talking about a subject about denying yourself. And I think that's the key here.
Say more, John.
Yeah, I believe we have to deny ourselves, like God says, pick up our cross and follow him, but we have to die to ourselves. And to be a sacrifice, we have to make that sacrifice. And Galatians 2:20 tells us that I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, which now gives me the ability to speak into other men's lives. It gives me the ability to want to do that. Whereas opposed to me living for me and myself, when it was all about self and me, I didn't want to know about you.
Yeah.
I didn't care about you. But now to be a mentor for others and then to be mentored by somebody else, is a big deal. I mean, and you know, having a mentor, Brett is my mentor who knows everything about me, who we talk about everything, obviously 2.5 hours every week. You can talk about a lot. But at the same time, you know, I have a teaching mentor and I have other people that speak into my life as that are pastors that can bring a different right. dynamic to the table. Right. But when you're talking into somebody's life and speaking into their life, you have to, it's sacrificial. There's no way you're going to do this with an agenda. There's no way you can speak into somebody's life with the word of God with an agenda. It can't be anything about you. And number, and another thing that's really important that mentors and mentees have to understand is God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, and we need to use those in proportion. We need to listen. We need to be able to sit there and listen. I mentor a young man that's in prison. He's been there for 4.5 years, and he's doing really well now. But in the beginning, he was just he used all 10 minutes of the conversation. That would when his phone calls were 10 minutes long. And then it was like, you have 1 minute left. I said, are you done? Can I say something? You know, we'd hang up. But eventually, now it's not that way. He listens, I listen, and I help him. He's helping others. He's mentored 3 guys already. So, I mean, there's hope. You know, there's hope when you have Jesus in your heart. But you have to sacrifice, and you have to want to die to yourself. That's just, you need to die to yourself. That's it, or you're never going to be able to walk with the Lord in your heart if it's you.
Part of the dying to the self for me, guys, is with my mentors and my pastor, is being open to what they're saying rather than to critique it instead of listening to it.
Amen.
And another chunk of wisdom.
Well, it's
not
just comes
I'm
natural.
Serious.
Because if I
would almost write that down.
Well,
almost. Yeah.
Critique. You couldn't spell critique, so
that's true.
I can't either. But in the Greek, you'd nail it, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah.
But the other thing is, I got to really get it down to my level. All seriousness, I do. Is this going to help my walk with Jesus or hurt it? I got to do that in all things. And I have a hard time when I'm talking to Bill. And Bill, one of the first things Bill said to me is, why don't you ever talk about personal holiness? Well, the reason was I didn't really have a lot of it. Okay, so how can I ask some other people to do it? And he started mentoring me. I have to be willing to go, okay, will this help my walk with Jesus, whether I want to do it or not? Is going out to a bar going to help my walk with Jesus? Probably not. And I can use that simple thing. Will missing my quiet time help my walk with Jesus? No. Will missing church help my walk with Jesus? No. And it works really well. But that's the part about being open to find what he's talking to me about instead of going, hey, John's wrong about that. Then I don't have to listen to anything he says.
Right.
And I'm right and he's wrong. And I'm isolating there too because I'm pushing you away.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, yeah, and that's where also the led by the Spirit. That's where you know. Hopefully, you know, you as a mentor are taking the time and doing what you're talking about, and you're reading the Word, and through that you get led by the Spirit, and sometimes you may walk in thinking you're going to talk about something, and something happens different, and you go with it. But it's always coming back to the Word of God. It's not like how the Vikings do or something. It's coming back to the Word of God, and It's interesting what John said there too. You know, having a mentor, and I have a mentor, Wally Colesrud, and he's been beside me for the last 5.5 years or so. Every week we've met, and I found that it's the only way I feel I can pour into another person is if someone's pouring into me.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they're pouring into you, it's a responsibility to pour into the next, and God has a plan in all this. He's got a plan in this. But he does want us to hold each other accountable and encourage each other, you know, along the way. That's what it's all about.
I love that.
Me too. It's awesome.
The other thing is, if I'm meeting with guys, like I'm speaking for you on Friday, I got to make sure my game's up.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to ask my guys to do anything I'm not doing. I think it's Psalm 1.
It's convicting.
Talks about the... You know, the tree and the water.
And the river.
Yeah. And I want to make sure I'm plugged in because, let's face it, the easy thing is to get away from this deal. I got it. I don't need to do that. You know, God's busy with other people. I kind of got it. I'll leave him alone today. Oh, man. I can't believe, guys, how quickly I can get off and big time off.
Yeah.
Quickly.
The enemy wants to take us off track.
Get us off the
and
plane.
He gets us off. If he puts us on the sideline, he wants us on the sideline. That's where he wants us to be. And it's no fun.
I think of us, you know, if you ever try walking up a down escalator, well, if you stop, what happens? You're going back down to the bottom. But that's like the word of God. He wants us to grow, but we've got to constantly be pushing forward. You know, if you stop, you're not staying still in the Lord. You're moving back. I know, too. If I don't have, like Wally tells me, Wally's been doing this way more many years than I have. And his quote I always lean on is, hey, Brett, if I don't go to the Word of God the first thing in the morning, I'm toast.
Mm.
Toast. Well, I know it, too. I'm not the man, the husband, the leader, if I'm not in the Word of God, because all of a sudden the old Brett comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You heat up the pan under me, and I'm not in the Word of God. All of a sudden, there's the old Brett sparking out and different things, trying to figure stuff out. That's my default.
Yeah.
That's my default.
Now, we only have a few minutes left. I want to take this time to first of all, thank you guys for coming on the program. But also, I feel like we're skiing down some of the black diamonds tonight. And there's some people that are staring at the bunny hill going, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I don't have a mentor. I don't have a way of connecting with somebody. I am scared. What am I going to do? And because, you know, we get letters to the website and people are crying out and desperate. And, you know, I feel like we're kind of in a nice little club where we're all connected and we're,
sure,
you know, in accountability groups. And I just know there's people desperate tonight and they don't have someone that they're connecting with. How do we go about looking at that bunny hill going, all right, start?
What do we do? I believe that you have to, if you're wherever you're going to church,
yeah,
you need to get connected in your church. If you're a man, get connected in a men's group. If you're a woman, get connected in a women's group. And I believe you need to pray for God to show you who he wants to be in your life that'll speak into your life. And what God's going to do is he's going to show you who he wants to be in your life. And you need to be aware of that. And if you're actually active, you have to be an active participant in your own rescue. You can't just sit there and wait. You know, you can't wait passively. You have to wait actively. So get involved in your small groups at church, and you're going to find a mentor. I promise you, you're going to find somebody you click with, and you're going to be able to do that.
So, John, what would the prayer be? What would that prayer be?
The prayer.
Pray that prayer right now.
Lord, I pray today that you just come into my heart and show me, God, who it is that you want to speak into my life. I pray that you, as I go through your word, Lord, that you find somebody that's able to speak to me, that I can listen to, that can teach me your ways, God, and show me how to walk this life that you have for me. In Jesus' name.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because I do believe.
Oh, amen.
I know. I do believe there's lots of people out there that think maybe this is the next step I need to take, but how do you do it?
Yeah.
And George, you're a stickler for that. You always want to say, well, how do you do it? And I've learned that from you.
How are you doing it?
How are you doing it? And what's the next step? And what does it sound like? What are the words? What do I do? Where do I go? And I think that's important to help people along the way, to give them a chance to know. So
I
appreciate that.
I always look for somebody at church or maybe in a recovering gathering that has something I want. You know, there's something about that guy.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, if you're a guy, it's a guy. If you're a girl, it's a girl, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, if they have something, you know it. And you pray to God, and you go ask them. You know, when you're drinking, what do? You go up and ask the bartender for a drink. You got to do some action here.
Yeah.
And do it. Just do it. And trust it. And miracles happen. You'll meet lifelong friends, and God shows up. He does.
Yeah, I'm here. If somebody wanted to email me, they could email me and ask me. That's not a problem. We can talk about it, and I can hook them up so they can have the website if you want.
We will put that on our website and make an option. They can
And dust off that Bible. You know, it's there. It's powerful. It's supernatural.
Mm.
That Bible is supernatural. It's not just ink and paper. And if you're not going to go to church for a while or see somebody, just open it up. And pray, God, teach me, show me something, speak to me through this word, and he will.
Yeah.
And maybe not first, but go the second day and the second day. Read a psalm a day, asking God, read till you strike fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, George, that wraps up another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. We're so glad you joined us tonight. If you want to listen to this program again, you could go to our website, myfaithradio.com, go to the Real Recovery webpage, and you can pass this on to a friend. Or maybe you can send it to someone you would like to be mentored by, or you want to get into a mentoring relationship. This might be a nice little introduction to it. Thanks for listening. Good night, everyone. God bless. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.